Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, we give you thanks this morning, God. Hallelujah. God, you are good. You are good, Lord. You are worthy and wonderful and magnificent, God. You are amazing. We owe everything to you. Our very breath is yours, God. You've given it to us. Thank you so much, God. And thank you, God, that we are here again gathering together. That, God, we can sing and proclaim and encourage and build each other up in our faith, God, as we give our praises to you. And, oh, we love you, God, and we love your word. And, God, would you open your word to us? Would you, again, give us another glimpse? Just open the shutters a bit more, God, and help us to see you in all your glory, that glimpse, God. Oh, let it refresh us and renew us and strengthen us today, God. Oh, we love you. We need you, God, and we just count you as worthy today. Oh, God, you are blessed. God, I just pray over each person here this morning. Thank you for them, God. Thank you for their families. And God, would you continue to bless them? Would you continue to provide in every area of their life, God, so that they will be built up, that they will be sustained, God, and they will give glory and honor to you. We are a grateful, we are a thankful people this morning, God. And we thank you in your wonderful name, Jesus. That beautiful and powerful and amazing name, the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. Oh, boy, this is awesome. I can't get over this. This is surreal. It's been too long. But it is great to see you all here. As was mentioned earlier, I'm going to do over the summer here stories from Sunday school. That's when I sort of kicked off my faith, was when I was 12, 13 years old and showed up at Sunday school and didn't have a clue what it was all about. And so I was the guy that was kicked out of class and sitting in the hall every Sunday at some point. But I take it, it wasn't all my fault. It was the other guys. I was the guy that just got caught. Okay, just so we get that clear. But, you know, there are stories in the Bible that maybe sometimes we can get a little bit too familiar with. You know, it's possible, right? We've heard it over and over and over again. But, you know, it's good to be reminded of the things that set the foundation for our faith and for our drawing to Christ. And you know, it's good to be reminded of God's greatness. And so I love the songs, right? Because something simple as you are good. You know what? You can just say that. But when you sing it with all of the knowledge and understanding that you have on the basis of your experience with God, you begin to take a depth. It's not just words. It's not just a phrase. You're thinking back in your mind of all the times that God has been there for you and has sustained you and helped you and guided you and blessed you. Can you think of those things this morning? That's where it took me. And I'm so faithful, or so thankful that God is faithful and that he calls us to be faithful to him. Wow. Well, this coming July, over the next, not this Tuesday, but the 13th, 2027, I want to have some conversations with you and barbecue. So Noreen and I are inviting you to our house. You can choose a time slot. You can come all three Tuesdays at 12 noon, or you can come all three Tuesdays at 6 p.m., or you can just, if you have to, you know, miss a week, that's okay, you know, if you're away. But you do need to reply because we want to make sure we can feed you, and you don't have to bring anything, just yourself, and the ability just to ask questions and have a conversation about God. In particular, we're going to start with the Holy Spirit because we just came out of a series of preaching there. But yeah, just going to be an amazing time, and I look forward to that with you and as we gather together. Noah's big boat. He had a big boat. At the time, maybe the biggest, because there probably weren't a lot of big boats at that time. And in his position of where he was going to be in the desert, and you know, sea, lakes around, but very uncommon. Rain was uncommon at that time. So this is a credible story of faith, an incredible story of perseverance and obedience and being faithful to God as he speaks in your life. So Noah had a big boat, or he was about to, as the story goes. And if you read from Genesis chapter 6, 5 to 8, this is the setting we find ourselves in his context. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Think about that. All the time, their thoughts were evil. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor from the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. You see, we find the condition of the world is very bleak. Wickedness of man was great. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It was a mess. It was a disaster. And God sees and views this, and it comes in our story that maybe it's enough is enough. And to the point where even if you go to verses 11 and 12 of the chapter, it says the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Wow. You talk about, you know, separating from God, God's creation at this point in history already. And the thing that captures my heart today is that in the midst of this context, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created man, was sorrowful and grieved. That God was put in a place of grief and sorrow to the point in his heart, he was sorry that he had made man. It's terrible. It's awful that God would be put in a place by his creation. But it says that God was grieved in his heart and sorrowful. And the result was very simple, that God was going to wipe out everything that lived. Wow. I'm glad I'm not God. You know, to come to that place where it is so bad that you've got to wipe it all out, including every living thing, animal, human, vegetation. It's amazing. You know, it's amazing too, though, that in the midst of all of this violence and terror, and the people were just wicked and evil, that in the midst of all of this, there was a guy. There was a guy who was doing his best to be righteous. And it says he walked with God. He had relationship with God. He had not forsaken God as the whole world around him had forsaken the world, had forsaken God and everything righteous. Noah had not. Think about that. That's amazing. Think about our context today. Think about our world. Folks, I don't know how it compares to this time in life in Genesis chapter 6, how we measure up. But is it possible that here's Genesis chapter 6, violence and evil, and here's ours? Is it possible that we are way more evil, way more wicked, and way more perverse than they were even in those days? It's very possible. We've lived a lot longer, so we've learned a lot to how to mess it up better. Correct? And I could start to, in your mind, you will begin to picture some of the atrocities in our world and the evil in our world. You think about the things that are done to children. You think about things that are done in countries around the world where people that stand up for righteousness are killed. It just goes layer upon layer upon layer upon layer and upon layer. It's an evil, perverse world that has turned from the living God. But Noah finds favor. It's amazing. He finds this amazing favor. And in the midst of this, God says to Noah, I want you to build a boat. I want you to build this boat. Can you imagine what's a boat of this magnitude? And it says that he builds this boat for God, and it's a boat that is, if you compare the size, would be about one-third the size of the Titanic. When the Titanic sunk, it was one-third that size, about a field and a half of football fields, about a one-and-a-half football fields long. And we don't know exactly how many years it took Noah to build the boat. We have a summation of approximately, you know, where it would be. A lot of people say 100, some go up to 120. But we can guarantee that it was at least 55 years that he had to build it. If you base it on the children, Shem, Ham, Japheth, where they came into play and the years and everything. So they roughly say 55 to 120. I'm not going to choose, but I'm going to say this about it. It was a bit of time to build the boat. 55 years, that's about my, you know, my pace. But here in this midst of this, the questions that we have to ask ourselves as Noah's building this boat in the middle of his backyard or in the desert, you know, no rain is happening, and he's building this boat, and he's preaching about the gospel, and he's can you imagine the faith it takes to build a boat in his setting? And to preach the gospel to people who are not listening, and to be able to declare this in the midst of it all. And at the end of the story, we know that nobody repented. And yet he built the boat, and he followed God's instructions, and he built it. And it came to the point where God says, okay, now I want you to take your family, and I want you to take the animals, and I want you to bring them into the ark. And he tells them to bring 7 clean pairs of animals and 2 pairs of unclean animals into the boat. Now, of course, the reason for bringing the animals onto the boat were simple. One, to preserve the life of the animals that God had created and to they'd replenish and populate the earth. Number 2, that Noah and his family would need something to eat. Wouldn't they not? I'd probably be hungry after that point of time, especially building like that. So you're going to need food for the animals. And animals were divided between clean and unclean classes. You see, the clean animals could be eaten. And the clean animals could be used to sacrifice to God because they were pure and they were holy. And the unclean animals could not be. So Noah, as he came off the ark later on in the story, we'll also find out that he performed sacrifices after the flood. So he would have offered clean animals. So you're going to need more clean type animals than you are unclean animals. A lot of it had to do with the way they chewed their food and their unclothed or clothed feet. But here's an example of what Noah would have taken on the ark. 7 pairs, male and female, of sheep. 14 sheep would have made it onto the boat. 7 male, female, Justin, you'll be glad to hear this. The deer were clean, so there was lots of them. And when you go hunting in the fall, may that be true. And 14 of them came on the boat. Pigeons, you know the birds, 14 of them came on the boat. Now, the pigs, only 2 of them came on the boat, 2 pair. Pair of dogs, interestingly, 2 pair only on the boat. And porcupines. You know, I think they were trying to keep the total down. But 2 pairs of porcupines came on, which was probably a good deal. But can you picture the Noah in the ark? Here's the ark in all its glory built, you know, 1.5 football fields long. And the doors down, the ramp. And God somehow performs this amazing miracle. And you know, comes the parade of animals onto the boat. You know, I don't think anybody was they weren't fighting each other, apparently. They weren't causing ruckus. They were just going onto the boat. Amazing miracle that God performs to get them on there. Now, Noah's about 600 years old when he entered the ark. So, Derek, you're in good hands. You got nowhere near your time is up. And 600 years when he enters the ark, his family comes on with him. In total, there's 8 people that survived the flood. Noah and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives. And that's it. That's the total of humans that go onto the ark. And they picture this now. The door closes. There they are in the boat. They have to wait 7 days before anything even happens. Okay, so now you've got a little bit more faith, right? There's a lot of animals on this boat. right? There's eight of you, and there's a lot of bleeding, and there's a lot of mooing, and there's a lot of, you know, doo-dah going on in the boat. So there's a lot of work to be done, but 7 days, nothing happens yet, and they've done everything that God has commanded them to do, and God himself shuts the door, and then it begins to rain. Now, it doesn't tell me in the Bible, but you've got eight people on the boat, and it begins to rain. What are the other people thinking at this point when the water begins to come, and it begins to rain? And it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. You see, the earth water begins to come up high. In fact, it tells us that it covers the entire mountain ranges. It's over top of the mountains, way over, so that nothing survives in the ground or the air. It's an amazing amount of water. And in this context of raining and the water going up, all living life, moving, flying, breathing's destroyed. And the earth was flooded for 150 days, roughly in total, roughly just over 5 months. And then the rain stops. And after these 40 days and 40 nights, Noah opens the window that he had constructed by God's order on the thing to take a look out, and he would have seen a lot of water. And he sends out a raven to see if there's any land. The raven disappears. He sends a dove, and the dove returns. He sends another dove, and an olive branch comes back in his mouth. So he knows that there's something happening. And then after 7 more days, he sends out another dove, and after 7 days, the dove doesn't come back. So Noah opens the door, and the surface is dry. Then God tells him, I want you to go out of the ark. And I want you to replenish, repopulate the earth. You know, altogether, Noah and his family and the animals lived on the ark for 1 year, 1 month, and 27 days. Now, I'm allowed leeway, right? Like, I'm allowed to make the odd, you know, analysis or joke, you know, in all of this. But 1 year, 1 month and 27 days is awfully close to the season of COVID we've faced. You see, at this point, it's been about 1 year, 3 months, and a few days. Almost the same thing. And if Noah can get on a boat with a bunch of animals and have faith to follow God and to see the season of life at his point through and to come to the end of it and to open the door to see the surface ground and God to tell him to go out, all's well. And what in the world am I doing complaining about a COVID season and the inconveniences I have to go through? Sorry, I just let my steam out. We haven't seen anything, is what I'm trying to say. So Noah comes out, he sacrifices an offering, and God smells the sweet fragrance. And God makes this promise, I won't destroy everything again as I have done at this time. And in Genesis 9, 11 to 17, we read these words, I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth, God said. And this is a sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all successive generations, I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Isn't that amazing? God says, you know what? I don't want to do this again. I don't want to wipe out all mankind again, so I'm going to make a sign of a covenant. And whenever it starts to rain, there's going to be a rainbow that will appear in the cloud. And folks, I'll get to us in a moment, but the rainbow is there so that God will look down and see the rainbow, and he will know that he promised he would never wipe us out again. That's his covenant, his promise to look down. But you and I today, when we look up after the rain and we see a rainbow in the sky and some of them are pretty spectacular, we should immediately go back to this time of Genesis when we realize how important it is to obey and be righteous before God and to walk with God, to be faithful to God. And remember that He has a covenant. He does not want to destroy us. That He wants to give us life. Jesus' very words in the Gospels was, I've come to give you life. And to life that is abundant. But it's found in a relationship with Jesus, in a relationship with God. It's found in being faithful and righteous and being blameless before God like Noah was in his day. So what this morning? You see, you can take a look at Noah and the story of Noah and the flood, and you can say, you know, it's a parallel to our sin and condition, because God didn't say He would tolerate sin anymore. He just said He wouldn't flood us all out again. You see, sin still has to be dealt with. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. And just in the days of Noah, we too have sinned and fallen away from God and done our own thing and allowed pride to come into our life, and we haven't understood or recognized God. And God says the wages of sin is death, which really means that there is a hell. There is eternity. And that the wages are that if we do not deal with our sin, then we will spend eternity in a separation from God. We will be completely wiped out, as it were, from a relationship and eternity with God in His presence. What God has really said is, it's not as much about the whole right now, it's about the individual. We have to look at the story of Noah and look at him. God saw him in the midst of it all, and He was righteous, and He was walking with Him. And God calls every one of us as individuals. He looks down upon our heart. He looks upon our life. He doesn't expect perfection, but He expects that we deal with our sin. You see, and how do we deal with our sin? Well, we know that the wages of sin of death is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Jesus came down to this earth. He did walk on this earth. He did come here. He did live a life of righteousness. He did show us the way of salvation. And He went on the cross where He died for our sin. And He dealt with our sin once and for all. And He is the gift of God to bring us back to a relationship with God. And in Him we find our righteousness. And in Him alone. And Jesus was buried in the grave, and He won the war of death and got the keys to death and Hades, and He came out of the grave. And He rose from the dead, and He gives us life. All of us have sinned. All of us can receive the gift of God through Jesus Christ. Noah found favor with God because of his righteousness and walking with God. You and I find favor with God when we acknowledge our sin and ask Jesus to cleanse us from all our sin. And we're not perfect. And we will muddle up. And we will make mistakes. We will sin. But the Bible says we can go to God continually and say, hey, God, you know, sorry I messed up. And we are still covered by His blood. And we are still righteous before Him, and we still are blameless, and we still can walk with God. Remember David, how screwed up he was, you know, in the sense he was a man after God's own heart. He made, he did adultery, and he had a real weird family setting, and he caused the husband of the one wife he had adultery with to be killed in battle. And yet afterwards, you still hear that he was a man after God's own heart. Because what did he do? When he was confronted with his sin, he repented before God. John 5:24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus, He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Noah's big boat. It was the object of salvation. Eight people took it and found favor and were rescued from a flood that wiped out all mankind. You and I have a choice individually. We have the cross as the symbol today of the ark. Just as the ark was a symbol of salvation to eight people in that day and to all those who refused it, so too the cross today stands as a never-ending symbol of salvation, of eternal life with God in his presence, no more sin and sorrow and pain and death. Just joy in his presence. Jesus warned us that few would find this symbol of safety and salvation. And I implore you today, if you have never realized that Jesus Christ died for your sin, if you never realized that you were a sinner, if you've never dealt with what's after this life, then please, I implore you, find out what it means. You know, check it out. Read the Bible. Come and call the church or talk to us. If you're in the building today and you've never done that, come and see us, please. Every one of us individually will be wiped out and separated from God without dealing with our sin. Please, please, please find the cross. And to those of us that have, can it be said of us like it was of Noah? Are we doing our best to live as righteous people? Are we trying to rightly put Christ at the forefront of our life and our actions and our words? Are we practicing his righteous living in our lives? Are we blameless? You know, are we harboring hidden sin or are we blameless? Are we in right standing with God? And the most important thing I love about Noah's story is the phrase when God looks down and says that Noah walked with God. Is your relationship to God, is my relationship to God more important than everything else? Because we don't have to disvalue anything if he is first. Because when we seek him, when we walk with him, when we know him, everything else just sort of flows. Doesn't mean we don't have, you know, tough times. It just means it all fits. But when we ignore God and we don't walk with him and we ignore our relationship, our friendship, our conversations with God, we suffer. I want to be a man. And I'm looking in the mirror today. I want to be a man who walks with God. Is that your heart today? Is that your desire? Are you willing to walk in obedience to God no matter what? Are you willing to be one of the eight when a generation completely rejects God? And this world has rejected God. Are we wanting to blend in? Or do we want to separate ourselves so we stand out and people look at us and go, they are not like us. They walk with God. And we will get persecuted for it as the days go further. But will we stand in faith? Will we be people of faith? Will we never reject God for man's opinion or man's influence in our lives? Last thing that I'd like to say about this story, Noah's big boat. Sometimes you can look at the story and go, you know, God just completely wiped out mankind. What could be great about that? You know what's great about it? Is God could wipe out you and me, but he loves us. He loves what he's created. The Bible tells us it was good. And he looks at you and his creation, and it's good. And God is for you. He's not against you. God is with you. He will walk beside you and in you by his Spirit. He'll never leave you or forsake you or reject you. It may feel like that at times. You might feel all alone, but God said, I'll never do it. I'll always be there. And we can call upon God at any time, and God is with us. We can know that God is a God of his word. The rainbow proves it. The cross proves it. And he said he's coming back. And that's like the ark door. When he comes back, let's be ready. Let's be in good relationship with him. Let's know him. Because when we know him, he knows us. So Jesus, thank you that in this generation you're so patient, that you are so long-suffering. I dare think that, God, our world is a lot worse than it was back then. And God, you have been a person of your word, a man of your word, and you have not wiped us out like maybe we should have been. But God, thank you for bringing individual salvation to us all. That you love the world so much that you gave us your life, dying on the cross, and giving us new hope, a new vision for the future, and a joyful life, God, that is abundant and full. But we recognize today that it's only found in you. And God, if anybody has never dealt with their sin or realized that, I pray that your Spirit, as he promised he would do, would lead them to help to know what they can't understand right now, God. And for us, the church, the ones who have been called, the ones who have received your salvation, God, would you count us as faithful? Help us in our lives to continually live righteously, God, no matter what. God, to be blameless in your sight and not to harbor undealt with sin, to go for seasons on our own way, to be prideful. And God, help us to value that we would walk with you, that we would have a relationship with you, that we would know you, God. And that would be the highest value in our life. Thank you, God, that Noah was obedient and full of faith. Every step of the way, he did what you asked. And may that be our testimony, God. Every step of our lives, may we be obedient and faithful. We give you the glory, God, in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Oh, church. You know, if you're here this morning and you can bow in your living room there, but if you would like prayer of any type, I want to invite you just to come and stand at the altar, and it would be my privilege after 1 year, 3 months, you know, 18 days to pray with and for you. We're going to sing a couple songs of worship. Would you just sort of enter into the presence of God right now? And if there's anything in this morning's message that God sort of just encouraged you with or tweaked in you, just bring it before him. And let's just worship God. Let's worship him.
Something that stood out to me today was like the whole point that like God saw Noah. And I think that right now in our culture, we live in a cancel culture. Like, if you speak out or stand for something, or don't speak out or don't stand for something, like, that's it. It's just over for you. And God says, no, 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 like, I came to redeem, And Noah built this boat for, like, maybe 55, maybe 120 years. And so I think of our teens who are in high school, and they're trying to, like, live righteously. It's like 4 to 5 years. You can do it. God sees you. And you're in your workplace. That's like 50 years. You can do it. God sees you. And, like, on average, most of us live, like, my grandma's 91. She's really old. Okay? Like, she's done it. God sees her. And so when you're standing up for righteousness and you're living out and you're like, why bother? It's so hard. Nobody cares. God cares. God sees you. Okay? So be encouraged, because it's going to get harder and harder to do it. But God saw Noah, and God sees each of you. So praise God and amen for that. And before I just close in prayer, I want to just ask you guys, this week, like 1 week from today, we have kids camp. And there's lots of studies. So basically, 6 out of 10 kids raised in the church will eventually walk away from their faith. That's like a terrible stat. That stat keeps me up at night as a parent, as a youth pastor, as a Christian. It like haunts me. But in all of this research, like 70% of kids who go to a conference or a camp and have this like deep experience of community with Jesus are more likely to stay committed to their faith. 70%, that's like huge. That's like, you know, that's a pretty decent grade. You're like, you give that to your parents, they're pretty happy, okay? And so next week we have 32 kids. That's how we had to cap it. We didn't have enough counselors, but 32 kids coming to camp from 6 to 12 for a whole week. And would you just pray for them this week? Would you pray for their leaders? Would you pray for our cooks? Would you pray for me as I direct the camp? Would you just pray for the week coming up and while they're there? Like, this is an incredible opportunity we have to just invest from Prince George to Quesnel to Williams Lake to every little community in between. Just these kids, we've got leaders coming up from Surrey and Langley and Abbotsford. Like, this is a great opportunity. And just this same thing, that these stories build our foundation. And this year we're just focusing on, like, you know, we can have confidence because God knows me. And we can make a difference because God knows me. And just being known by God and living in that truth. And so God knew Noah, God saw Noah, God knows each kid coming, God knows you, and just, yeah, be encouraged by that, but please, please, please pray for us. Pray for those kids. God, we thank you that you see us. When it's hard, you see us. When it's good, you see us. When we're trying our best and when we mess up, you see us. You love us in the midst of it. God, you came to redeem us. Jesus, you came to redeem us. And we thank you for that. Help us to live into that life, that mentality, that truth, that promise. And God, as we just do kids camp next Sunday for an entire week, Jesus, would you make yourself known to every person at camp, all 60 of us, from the youngest 6-year-old to our cook, who's probably our oldest guy. God, would you pour in to each person there? Would the truth and the seeds planted never die? Would they be buried in deep, rich soil? God, we pray for kids to come to know you. We pray for salvation. We pray for a filling of the Spirit. We pray for a radical move at a camp. And when those kids come home and they go to their home churches or they go to their homes or their communities, God, as a church, would we be just ready to welcome them? Whether that's here or Quesnel or Hickson or Williams Lake, wherever they find themselves, would we as a church be willing to welcome them as a family? Would we love them, teach them, and serve them well. Because God, you see them. Help us to see them the same. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.